John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
The Burt Show.
So Wendy was on assignment in Knoxville yesterday where Tennessee had their premiere of New Moon. And our biggest fear here was that getting Wendy access to Kristen Stewart and Taylor Lautner was going to be that she sounded like this girl that was watching the New Moon trailer that we played for you a couple of months ago. This girl right here, it's the first time she's ever seen the New Moon trailer. And she's recording herself as she's watching it for the first time, freaking out.
I couldn't actually be more excited right now.
Sure, that's
I'm
not
gonna
me.
Fangirl. I am going to fangirl so bad right now. This is just... Here goes.
Wow.
The beach! The house looks so beautiful. And I've met him, I've met her. And I've met him. Oh, that is one hell of an ass shot.
Now that was me.
Don't you dare leave her, you head. Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god. What the hell has Taylor done to himself? Oh my god, he's so hot. I don't even care if he's like 17. I don't give a he's hot, okay? The boy is hot.
It is Wendy.
And the wolf. The wolf. It's a proper wolf. Poof. And it's a wolf. It's a proper wolf. It's not a little woof woof wolf. It's a wolf. Like, in Twilight, it was just little wolves. Like, proper little wolves that look like dogs, but they're not real wolves. They were just dog wolves. They weren't proper wolves. Like, werewolf wolves, even though they're not werewolves. They're shapeshifter wolves. They weren't, like, werewolf wolves. Whereas in this one, the proper real wolves are, like, CGI wolves, which makes it look more real. And it actually looks like Jacob's meant to look. And it's actually red. And it actually has kind of his face and his eyes. And it actually looks like him. And I just can't wait to see this film. And now I've started talking. The words don't want to stop. And I'm eventually going to have to start stopping talking. Because if I don't start stopping talking, then I'm going to start choking instead, and I really don't want to choke, but I need to just keep talking right now. So the other thing that I like about it is the fact that just the whole thing, just the bit where Jasper's like, grr, grr, and I love the cake. Oh, doesn't the cake look nice with Bella around the top? And I couldn't be more excited for this. Chris White's, you genius. I'm sorry, but this is better than Twilight. The quality of it... I'm so going to go and see this film four times on the same day all over again. Ah! And Edward looks hot. Way hotter than he did in Twilight. And I love her dress. Oh, Esme. Alice, that cake could be 50. Paper cut. Ha, ah, you dumb Go on, Jasper. Bite her. Excuse me if I just get in the way. Oh. Oh, I really want to give myself a paper cut right now.
What? Can you imagine sitting next to her in the movie?
Oh. I think our fear was when this girl right there started talking really, really, really fast and wouldn't stop, that was going to be Wendy once she got in front of Taylor Lautner yesterday. So we got this access for her. They had the premiere up in Knoxville yesterday. And
Hollywood
all we had,
of the East.
What's that?
Knoxville, Hollywood of the East.
Don't you make fun.
So these weren't, like, directly on the red carpet passes, though, right, Jeff? They were.
Yeah, they were red carpet.
They were?
They were right there.
But we were assuming that there were going to be hundreds of people out there, and it would be a tough assignment for you to get them to actually talk to you.
Well, I actually got into Knoxville at record timing. I think it only took me 2 hours and 45 minutes to get there because my foot was on the gas pedal so fast. I did not want to miss a moment of anything going on, any of the action. So I get up into Knoxville, and I go to the theater, and there is security already everywhere, like every entrance, and because this movie theater is huge, so every entrance into the movie theater, I'd say there's 6 or 7 entrances, cop cars waiting to talk to anybody pulling in, because you can't park in there unless you're part of the media. So I pull into the parking lot, have my media credential, and there's already a crowd. This is around 12:45. There are already girls camping out, and there's some that have been there since the night before.
And it's set to start at what time?
And I'm supposed to be there at 3.
But what time? The civilians who are there are waiting for a movie that starts at what time?
The movie started at 7:30. The stars are getting there at 7 o'clock. And people were being let in at 6 o'clock. Like, regular patrons were being let in at 6 o'clock.
And people were camping out there overnight.
Let me just tell you, there was a bachelorette party. Yes, bachelorette party, who drove from Michigan the night before.
No way.
Slept in their van because they didn't have hotel reservations, and sat in the parking lot from 8:30 the night before and got a prime upfront seat on the barricades, because they had the entire thing barricaded when I got there from one end of the theater to the other end of the theater. And then in the front of the theater was a huge red carpet. It's where Taylor and Kristen Stewart were going to be standing and greeting the people. And there was also two red carpets. One went over to the media side, and then one that was the patrons' red carpet to go in and see the film.
Did they have those spotlights going on all over the place, too, like a real Hollywood premiere?
At nighttime, the spotlight was going. There's this massive spotlight in the crowd, but the time that... Right about 5 o'clock, I would say it was about 6 or 7 deep of people. And you have to realize this is a long stretch of barricades, and it's 6 or 7 deep. There were people in trees, climbing poles, trying to just get a glimpse of any of the action that was going on. So people are starting to arrive, and I'm getting my prime spot, and I'm there. I literally sat in my spot from 3 p.m. until 8 o'clock when the whole thing was over.
So how far deep now are you? There's a barricade. Is there like one row of people in front of you, two rows of press, three? Are you right at the barricade?
I'm right at the front because I refused to move. As soon as we started, any commotion started going. The commotion started around 5 o'clock. I did not move from that spot because I was like, I am getting something. I am going to talk to Taylor Lautner. I am going to do something.
I'm
going to
make him love me.
This is my one opportunity, one chance. I'm like, that's mine. And I was talking to the other press people there. I was like, okay, if you see me talking to him, grab a picture of me. If we can just turn around real quick, I'll take your picture. You take my picture. We're going to do anything we can to just get a snapshot.
Okay.
Was there press there from all over the place? Was it mostly Knoxville
people? It was mostly Knoxville people. There's radio stations, and then there's probably 3 TV crews, but they were all going to syndicate it to other networks. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there were 3 TV stations covering it and a couple of radio people, and then one person I didn't even know who was there. He probably just wanted to be part of the group.
So at this point now, you're saying it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Are you elbow to elbow with people on the barricade?
Not yet.
Okay.
The elbow to elbow didn't start until around 5:30. But I did go in the crowd before we had to get close together because I wasn't losing my spot. My stuff was at my spot. I'm not losing this prime spot.
Were you wearing a diaper?
Yeah, no bathroom breaks at all.
I didn't go to the bathroom at all. I refused. I didn't want to lose my spot because it was right in front of this book, because there's a red carpet and there's this book of Twilight. It's where they were going to take their pictures.
Like a life-size book?
A life-size book of Twilight, and they were going to take the pictures right there, right in front of me. I was like, that's my opportunity. But before we stood in the line, I went out into the crowd. And I have the clip. I had Josh pull this clip because this is the insane crowd and the intensity of the crowd. And the stars weren't even at the premiere yet. This is just the hype and commotion of me being in the crowd.
And this is how many hours before the stars arrive?
This is around 6 o'clock. So everyone's getting kind of excited.
Right, you can start to feel the excitement starting to build.
You can feel the momentum start to build, but the crowd was like this all day.
We love Nara! Oh, my
gosh. Is this it? They're not even there yet.
No.
So what are they cheering at?
Just the excitement. I don't know. Just people are like, patrons are arriving, I guess. So it's just exciting. But the crowd was yelling all day for Taylor and Kristen.
And you didn't incite this. This just happened.
Yeah, no. I was standing just in the crowd with them.
This is an hour before the premiere in Knoxville.
But these people, I think you don't understand how long they've been waiting for this movie.
I know.
It's insane. I mean, but the line was so long. Like, it was insanely massive.
So it stays that loud for an hour before they even arrive?
Wow.
Okay.
Intense. So I'm like, if this is it an hour before, I cannot wait till they get on the red carpet. So they tease the crowd a little bit by bringing in these separate vehicles. You know, like the dark black vehicles that the celebrities arrive in. It's like tinted black windows. You can't see anybody in.
They should have let a real werewolf out of there.
They should have.
Not a
CGI one, but like a
proper wolf.
Yeah, a proper wolf.
But like coyotes. They should have let coyotes out of there with rabies to run into the crowd.
Remember, they teased the crowd a little bit, so just regular people were getting out of these vehicles, but the screams were so loud, and nobody in the crowd was disappointed. Well, all of a sudden, there's three vehicles that just pull on through. It is like chaos and mayhem. They're screaming even louder than that. Like, it's absolutely insane. They stop the vehicles right in front of the red carpet where they're supposed to stand and wave to the crowd, and it is going crazy. Taylor Lautner gets out, and holy crap, I lost my mind. And I think that's the second clip is where it finally starts, because they do go do some other kind of stuff. They go sign autographs. They're like on one side signing autographs. They go out into the crowd where it gets even more intense and sign autographs. Kristen and Taylor both signing autographs, standing posing for any kind of pictures with people in the crowd.
So as you're incredible. Standing on the barricade and you see him come out of the limo and start just working his way up to the red carpet, how far is he from you at that point initially?
Oh, super close. He's probably 20 feet from me at that point.
Okay. Wow.
At that point.
Cool.
All right, and he's working his way over to you, and I'm assuming now you go from media interview person to big-time fan.
You know what? I lost a little bit.
And this is when Taylor comes out, so this is the crowd right as Taylor comes out.
This is the crowd, and then he's going to work himself towards the media area after this.
Okay.
There he is.
You told him so.
Oh my God,
the love of my life. Love of my life.
Taylor, one question. Q100 in Atlanta.
He's like walking right in front of me.
Can he even hear you?
I don't know.
I think my heart hasn't raced as fast in a long time. Holy smokes.
I'm yelling at him.
He's in front of you and you're yelling at him now.
This is fantastic.
Can you do me a favor?
Right next to me.
Can everyone say good morning, Tennessee?
Good morning, Tennessee.
That's what you got.
Favorite part of the movie? If the fans are an option, it would definitely be them, because this is mind-blowing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. This is
they are pulling him and tugging him, so no questions. Dang it.
Wow, listen to that. So at this point, one person got one question in next to you. So, and you have your recorder in his face?
Right next to me, because they were pointing at me because they knew I wanted just like one question, one thing, one interview with him. But his handler, as soon as it was coming to me, pulled him for a picture right in front of me. That's when I started yelling. I'm like, one question, please, like one question. I'm like yelling at him to come over to me, but he gets so close to me.
He's like, what did he look like in person?
Yes. Hotter. Like, I don't know.
Even hotter?
Yes. I mean, he was like,
possible?
I don't know.
Get it. The Burt Show.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You're on The Burt Show.
Here's how you know Gabby Sidibe is not used to her stardom just yet.
Mm-hmm.
On time for an interview.
Think she should be rolling in here about 15 minutes late?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, she wins an Academy Award. I mean, this will be booked for 9:10. She rolls in about 10:30.
Yeah, and we'll wait on her.
And we'll wait on her.
Right.
But she's not there just yet. Hey, Gabby.
Hi.
How are you today?
Thanks for waiting for me in the future.
Well, I will tell you that you are 2 minutes late, but you are worth the wait for sure.
Aw, thanks.
I thought, you know, initially when I found out that we were going to have you on the show, I'm like, man, it's always so difficult to do interviews with teenagers because they just don't talk a lot. And what are we going to do with a 16-year-old? And then I found out you're 26 years old.
Surprise, I'm grown.
It happened quickly. It really happened quickly. Congratulations on all sort of the, what do you want to call it, like pre-hype on the movie and your performance? Because, man, people are talking Academy Award already for you.
I know, isn't that crazy?
It is.
actually, they've been talking about that for a while, and it's been super premature. And it scares me a little, but it's still nice.
My name is Clarice Precious Jones. I want to be on the cover of a magazine. I wish I had a light-skinned boyfriend with real nice hair. But first, I want to be in one of them BET videos.
You're a dummy. Don't nobody want you. Don't nobody need you. School ain't gonna help none. Take your ass down to the welfare.
Gabby, I've seen Precious, and I think you do a fantastic job in it. And I if you do get a nomination for the Oscar, which of course you have to, then I think it's well deserved. But tell everybody how this came about in the first place.
Well, I seriously just went to an open casting call. I think they auditioned somewhere between 400 and 500 girls.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about that until maybe my last day on set. And I walk into an audition, and I pretty much got it within 3 days. I walked audition on Monday, call back Tuesday, and I was offered the role on Wednesday. So it happened pretty quickly.
What did you do for your audition?
I did one of the scenes they'd given me, a scene where she meets Miss Weiss, who is Mariah Carey's character for the first time.
And you were the very last person that auditioned for the role?
I think so.
I would go with that because your answer to that in the future is, yeah, because once they saw me,
duh.
Who else did they even have
to
look at?
Anymore.
Which was really the truth because there was nobody else to look at.
But she doesn't have to say that.
Right.
I'll let other people say that.
That's right. So Gabby has arrived, everybody.
Gabby, what did you do before this? I mean, if you're 26 now, you know, everybody keeps saying that this is your first acting role. So what were you doing before this?
I was a college student. I wanted to be a psychologist, and so that's what I did for the most part, and I was a receptionist.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, Gabby, I've seen where you've said, because of your degree in psychology, that you thought this role in this movie might actually help more people than you being a therapist would.
Yeah, I felt a lot of guilt for not actually being a therapist, but like someone pointed out to me that I'll probably reach so many more people through this film and heal so many more people than I ever could as a therapist. And so I feel better about it now.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get to attend the Sundance Film Festival when the film premiered and all the buzz got started?
Yeah, I did. That was our very first outing, and it was amazing because Sundance is kind of like camp with celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
In a weird way. Like, it's like everybody's super casual, but you'll go to the pizza shop and there's Chris Rock. It's just amazing.
We're talking to Gabby Sidibe, who plays Precious in the movie Precious. The more we're talking to you, the more I realize how much of a stretch this role must have been for you, because you seem so funny and extroverted, and the role of Precious is one of she's so scarred and she's abused and she's introverted. I don't even know where to start. Like, where do you find that to act with when you're not that?
Well, I think a lot of that credit has to go to our amazing director, Lee Daniels, who is, he produced Monsters Ball and, The Woodsman. He is a talent, and he's amazing at pulling these performances out of people who wouldn't normally give them. And so I'd have to say that he pulled it out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
of course, the other hype on the movie, Oscar buzz, is for Monique, who plays your mom in the movie. How was it acting with her?
Oh, it's amazing. Like, seriously, she is the embodiment of love. She's so funny, and so whenever we had a scene, and our characters are in a constant fight, they don't like each other, but in between, she would hug me, and we would dance, we would sing, and she'd crack jokes, and my stomach would cramp up because she's that funny. She's so amazing to work with.
There must have been a high intimidating factor for you. I mean, you're on the set now, and we're going to throw around names like Oprah Winfrey and Tyler Perry and Mariah Carey and Monique, and this is your first time on a movie set. You must have been so nervous that first day.
Yeah, I I was pretty scared. Well, the very first day, the only people I knew who were involved with it were Monique, Lenny Kravitz, and Paula Patton. And so, like, Oprah and Tyler, shout out to Tyler, didn't come on until way later, and Mariah, too. And so we had already, done half the movie, but I was really, really scared when on my first day, but I had to suck it up and pretend like I belong there.
At any point when you're on the set with all these actresses and these actors, and you guys are just making small talk when you initially meet, you know, maybe they ask you what you've done before, were you sort of embarrassed to say that, I got to tell you guys, this is the first time I've ever done this?
No, I was actually super proud to say I don't have any acting experience. I mean, because I was really proud to be on a set with these veterans, you know, like people, not just, you know, people who were in the film, but casting, like the crew who'd worked on 20 different movies and things like that. I was really proud to say this is my first time and I'm still in your company.
You know, when you turned around, they flipped you off, right?
Right.
They probably did.
Except for Tyler Perry, who loved it because he loves stories like this. Yeah. So, you know, this is his story too. Like, you know, not supposed to do it. And then all of a sudden, it older than everybody else gets started and you're in, like in big time.
Yeah.
Like he's like high-fiving. He's like, that's my little sister.
When you were a kid and you were, you know, always dreaming of becoming an actress, who was it that you looked up to the most?
I never dreamed to become an actress.
Really?
Like, see, I seriously didn't want to, like, I didn't want to do it. And my family's been telling me that I need to do it all my life, but I didn't want to. It wasn't until I was handed the role that I discovered that it's what I want to do with my life.
What an amazing story. So you're a receptionist beforehand, and then how do you even find out about the casting if you're not in that world?
Well, a friend of I'd done some college theater, which seriously wasn't a big deal. And a friend of mine's at, you know, this college called me and told me about the audition. And I didn't want to go in because I would have had to cut school. But I kind of cut school anyway. That's not good to do, kids. But I cut school. And I, like, seriously, it was so fast. One audition led to the callback, led to me getting the part. Like, it was 3 days of my life. And it just kind of rolled out like that.
Now, Gabby, let's talk about Lenny Kravitz, because he is in the movie. He plays your nurse. And so, I mean, is he as hot in person as he seems like on posters and on TV?
Hotter, because you could touch him.
They want to know, does he smell good? Does Lenny Kravitz smell good?
Yes. Like cologne.
Now that you've been thrust into the spotlight, like I saw your picture in, what was it, Us Weekly or Entertainment Weekly, they're now analyzing your fashion, your clothes, and all that kind of stuff. Is that totally stressing you out? Do you have to worry about how you're seen in the public eye now?
No, because I like to, I try to make sure that every time I leave in something, whether it's like jeans or like a David Meister dress, that I really, really like what I'm wearing, mm-hmm. that I feel comfortable in it. So people can say whatever, like whether they like it or whether they hate it, they don't have to wear it. So I try not to stress about it.
Well, good for you. I mean, this whole new world is opening up to you. Have you already started to do another movie before this one has even really officially come out yet?
Yeah, I just did a Sundance Lab film called Yelling to the Sky, and that was really cool because it's a character completely different than Precious, and so that was really fun. Like, I got to be a bad girl who drinks 40s.
So this
40s kids.
This is
a lot of warnings coming from Precious this morning.
Yeah.
Stay in school, don't drink 40s.
So this is something you're sticking with. It wasn't like a one or two movie thing and then I'm out of the industry. This is your life now.
No, yeah, I hope it's my life. I love doing it. I love being on sets and, you know, in breathing life into a character. I think it's amazing, and I want to do it for as long as possible.
Well, congratulations. What a great start. And I hope after you win the Academy Award and the next time we have you on the show and you're 30 minutes late, that you're still as humble and as fun as you are right now. This is awesome.
We'll see. Thank you.
No promises. All right, Gabby, thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye.
What a sweetheart.
She's awesome.
How charming is she, man? Yeah.
Listen, it's The Burt Show.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is The Burt Show.
So I have seen this now with two of the wives in my life. One of my work wives, Jen Hobby, and my legal wife, Stacy, also going through the same struggle almost at the same time. And I hear the same words come out of both of your mouths, you know, like you want to quit, then you don't want to quit, and then you embrace it, and then you start smoking again, and then you don't. And it's just, it's a tremendous, tremendous fight.
Yeah, it's definitely a big struggle. I mean, it's an addiction like any other one that people, you know, deal with, whether it's, you know, as simple as like sleeping pills or whether it's, you know, as big and as bad for you as cigarettes, you know?
For a while there, you were really strong about it. You're like, that's it.
Yeah, I quit for almost 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that long.
Mm-hmm.
And then what brings it on? Just a lot of stress, like the divorce?
Yeah, just emotional stress and that kind of thing. And I think it's like an old crutch, you know? That you go back to or whatever. And then it becomes, you know, and then it's a habit again.
And I know you want to quit because you came up to Josh last week while I was in the studio. You were looking for him and you're like, yeah, we got to come up with some kind of competition.
Yeah, because Josh has been trying to quit smoking too. And so I was thinking, I was like, maybe we can try to do this together and then we can kind of check in with each other at work every day or whatever. And yeah, because there does have to be some sort of accountability, like somebody that you're checking in with and that kind of thing. I think you've got to really, really, really want to do it. When I was successful with it the first time for so long, I really, really, really wanted to.
What was different then? What was making you really, really, really want to do it back then that you can't seem to find now?
I think I wanted to have a baby.
Okay.
So that was motivation.
Right.
Because once you get knocked up, you can't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, allegedly.
Some people would argue it's fine. Tracy.
Cigars, different. Oh. So let me ask you this then. When you said you started smoking again, when it gets really stressful for you, like, I mean, anybody can understand that during a divorce, you're stressed out, so you lean on the cigarettes again. When do you start realizing that, okay, this isn't about stress anymore. This is just about me digging, smoking cigarettes.
I think probably almost right away, because it just becomes a habit after that. And then you sort of connect it to all these different things in your life. You know, you connect it to, I know people connect it to driving, or you connect it to having a cup of coffee, or you connect it when you're having your glass of wine at night, or, you know, after a meal. There's all kinds of different things that it sort of like the habit attaches itself to. And then I think that's how it kind of starts.
And then once it gets in your system, I mean, then
you enjoy it.
It's a drug and it's hard to get off of. It's
right.
Painful.
Totally.
So what have you tried to get off of it besides going cold turkey?
Let's see. The first time I tried some Wellbutrin, this is probably, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I took it for 2 weeks and I didn't really like it. And it's not even supposed to work for 2 weeks. So then I quit without it. But I remember looking at a bunch of different websites and reading a couple different books at the time, which definitely helped because I was like, you know, focused and like on the mission.
Mm-hmm. And now it's just, if you were going to do it, you're planning on going cold turkey?
I mean, people have suggested all kinds of different things to me, like that Chantix stuff, but then I've heard about really bad side effects from that stuff.
What is that, a drug?
Mm-hmm. It's a prescription medication. And then
what are the side effects?
I've heard that you can get really depressed.
For how long?
I don't know.
Suicide.
Really?
Yeah, there have been cases of suicide. There have been a lot of lawsuits just in the first quarter of 2008 alone. Of course, it's something that I follow a lot. I don't know if people know who I am.
Yeah, let me introduce you.
I would like to introduce you to Jesus.
Well, it's actually God is saying, now, Jen, it's time.
Yes, it is a drug.
This is Sean Wheeler, and he is from SureHypnosis.com. And we brought him in today to try to work his magic here on Gen Hobby. And I'm assuming a whole bunch of people come to you throughout the year and they're like, I've tried everything else.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the last thing that they try because everyone thinks that they're going to get hypnotized to bark like a dog and quack like a duck. And they don't know if people like me are charlatans or just taking advantage of them. So there's a lot of skepticism and a lot of fear.
Right.
So usually after they try all the other stuff, they come to me and they're like, I've tried everything. I'm going to give hypnosis a shot.
What's your success rate?
You know, I don't have exact percentages, but it's high, meaning that, like she said, the person has to really want to quit. And I can't come in and hypnotize somebody who has no desire to quit and make them do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But if they have a strong desire, it's something that can help them make it easier, meaning the thing she's talking about, like the being in the car and having a cup of coffee and when you get stressed out, all those associations make it really difficult to quit because you're having to battle with these thoughts all day long.
Right.
So what the hypnosis can do, if the hypnotist knows what they're doing, is you can make it to where those thoughts don't come as often, meaning that the person can forget about it most of the time. And that when they do think about it, you're thinking about it in the way that you did 4 years ago or when you quit.
Right.
Which is that you're thinking about it in a way that makes it unappealing to you. That's what we do.
So how long does the actual hypnosis take?
Well, it takes, you know, the session takes about an hour and a half the first time I work with somebody. And the actual hypnosis may take 30 to 45 minutes of that.
And then what will she feel? Just no desire for smoking?
You know, there's a range. And I want your listeners to know, to be honest, like people respond differently. Like I've had clients who smoke for 30 years, pack and a half a day, who quit and had no cravings and had no withdrawal. And I've done interviews with them. They're on my website. And so the thing is that some people, after being hypnotized, will experience an improvement, but it's not like magic like for those others.
Right.
So everyone responds differently, but if the person has a sincere desire, it's something that will help just about everyone.
Now, humans are pack animals, and we have our friends, and a lot of times smokers are friends with smokers.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, people who didn't smoke smoked again because they were around friends
right.
that smoked. So if somebody's trying to quit smoking, but everybody around them is still a smoker, is it more
doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
I actually just got an email yesterday from a woman that I hypnotized this summer to quit.
Mm-hmm.
And what she said in the email was 2 weeks after her session with me, she was at her high school reunion. And at the high school reunion, all of her smoker friends were there. And she was really worried about it beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
She was thinking, am I going to be able to not smoke around all these people?
Mm-hmm.
And she was so surprised that when she got there, she didn't have to fight it. She didn't have to resist it. She was hanging out outside with them while they were smoking.
Wow.
And she had no desire to do it. And that's not an exception. That's common.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do the session with people, what we do is we actually integrate those worries and concerns, whether it's having a few drinks and losing your inhibitions, whether it's having a stressful thing coming up.
Jen's really bad about losing her inhibitions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're going to be in there all day.
Many people do. And once we talk about these things and you address them, because it's not just like you hypnotize someone and you say cigarettes are going to taste bad and, you know, you send them out, which is what I think a lot of people think hypnosis is. What it really is an understanding of what your concerns are and what's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're hypnotized, you're hearing those things in a way that sticks, in a way that resonates. And so you don't forget about it later on.
Mm. Now, do you need some kind of like practicing license to do this?
No, you know, strangely, and I wish it were regulated, but being certified as a hypnotherapist or as a hypnotist is very easy. It's not regulated by the state. You know, there is no licensure in the same way that someone would be a counselor or a psychiatrist or a psychologist. Not at all. But there is a way, if you're looking for a hypnotherapist, to find out whether or not they've been appropriately trained, to see how much time they put into it, where they studied, and also to talk about their experience. So, you know, as a consumer, you have to be very, you have to be careful, and you have to do your research to find somebody who's good. But if you do that, then chances are the person's going to be able to help you.
Can you give us just a little sample? Like, obviously, we can't do the whole session here on
radio.
It's going to take much longer than
that.
It
would bore everyone to death, and people would crash into each other on 400.
But I'd sure like to like hear what the first minute or two sounds like. Like, if you and Jen were alone in a room together, and you were actually, we weren't here,
right?
And it's just you and Jen, how does it all go down?
Well, the thing I do first, actually, before we even do any hypnosis, and we talk for about, you know, 30, 45 minutes or an hour, we just chat, like really in a normal conversation. But before we do any hypnosis, what I do with people is a little exercise that actually involves helping them to think about how they'd see themselves as a person once the smoking habit was no longer a problem for them, and really clarifying that through visualization. And once they have that clear picture of what that is, we actually connect it, tie it directly to the stimulus, meaning the craving thought, so that every time they actually have a craving, every time they think about a cigarette, they're aware of why they want to quit. And when you're thinking about
That's
it in
cool.
that way, you don't want to smoke. So we do that before we even do any hypnosis. Now, the actual hypnosis, well, I can slow my voice down, you know, and talk to her in a way that would help her to relax. But chances are that's going to make people on the freeway kind of drift
mm-hmm.
over, you know, and become a little bit too relaxed. So, but what it typically is you don't have a stopwatch or anything like that. All I do is I say, close your eyes. And once I have them close their eyes, I have them focus on their breathing. And then I start to talk in a way that distracts them.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning I talk about things that are happening around the room. I talk about things that they might be thinking about. Have them become aware of their body for a few moments. And then once you get them nice and distracted and relaxed, well, then, you know, there's some visualization that takes place. And then once the person is, in my judgment, is to the point where they need to be, that's when I start feeding you all the suggestions about the things that are important to you. That's when I start giving you the suggestions about how it's going to be, what you want to do. And in that state of mind, when you're relaxing in that way, like I said, the stuff really sticks in a way that it doesn't when you're just having a conscious conversation.
Is that when you can put the stuff in there about clucking like a chicken?
Exactly.
I've been hypnotized in one of those comedy shows before, and if you haven't been hypnotized, what happened to me was I was always in control of what I was doing, but when whatever he was asking me to do just felt like the most fun thing in the world. So
exactly.
I wanted to do it.
Exactly.
But I didn't have to. Like, I knew I was in control to not cluck like a chicken or talk like, you know.
The way I describe it when I do those shows, because I do those shows too, and I volunteered in them and I've done them as a hypnotist, is that I say, you know exactly what you're doing. You just don't care.
Right.
Meaning you don't have the self-conscious awareness of like, oh, this person's judging me and that person thinks I look stupid. That's gone. And it's the coolest thing in the world because the people who are in the audience who are too chicken to get up there on stage, they don't know that the people on stage are having more fun than anyone else in the room.
Right.
They think that they're being controlled and manipulated. But when you're hypnotized in that show, you feel awesome and you're having a blast.
And you're loving it. You know exactly what you're
doing. That sounds
cool. It is. Cool.
Be hypnotized all the time.
When I first saw it in
Wendy
college.
Wendy wants to get hypnotized before she goes out on the weekends.
I thought it was scary. Like when I first saw a show in college, when I was in college all those years ago, I didn't volunteer. I was like, I'm not going to be looking like a fool up there on stage. But later on when I learned how to do this and then I went to a show and I tried it, it's like, man, that's a piece of cake and it's fun. And every time I go to a hypnotist show now, I went to one like a month or two ago at the Punchline, I jump up on stage and volunteer. And it's a party.
It's a party. It's a total good time. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to go trial by fire here. We'll set up an appointment with Jen and you.
Cool.
If she's okay with it.
That's the most important thing.
The first thing we need to do is hypnotize her to say yes to all of this. And once she says yes, then she'll do a whole session with you, and then people can follow along and see if it works for her.
Perfect. Sounds good.
But if it doesn't, we'll be totally honest with them also.
Absolutely.
Okay. And we'll have a link on over to Sean Wheeler, too. It's purehypnosis.com.
That's right. And hypnosisfundraisers.com.
Great. And today's Great American Smokeout, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think people are trying at least for a day to see what it's all about.
That's right.
Thanks for coming in, Sean.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it being here.
This is The Burt Show.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's The Burt Show.
All right, so this was Amanda a couple of days ago. She was into it.
Well, I'm 33 now, and I've never had a relationship last more than a year. Mm-hmm. You know, usually 6 months it starts to go downhill. And it's just like you start thinking at a certain age, I want to get married one day, and it's like, what am I doing wrong? Mm-hmm. You know, once or twice I've dumped someone or they dumped me, you know what I mean? It was never like a crazy breakup, really.
What is your type of guy?
Usually he's a couple years younger. To find someone, you know, that has a job and, you know, I think has good morals. You never know, though. You know what I mean?
Right, so she agreed every day we're supposed to have another ex-boyfriend on that was going to detail why the relationship didn't work out. We're 3 days into it. This would have been the fourth. And I think it's been pretty successful so far.
Well, we definitely found a pattern between number one and number two. And then number three was totally different, but still gave a very clear explanation on why the relationship didn't work.
It has been pretty interesting to read the emails, though, because I got a whole bunch yesterday that were sort of playing psychologist with her that said one of two things that I'll tell you about after we talk to Amanda here. Hey, Amanda.
Hi, guys.
You're not feeling so good about this.
No.
Come on.
It's just like, it's such a one-sided thing because I should be on the phone asking some of the questions.
Well, no, because the issue was, Amanda, that you wanted to see, you know, what you could do to improve the future, and we were trying to just pick up a pattern, and so all we needed was the perspective of the ex-boyfriends, their perspective. And so the reason that we didn't want to have you on until Friday was because we knew, I mean, with any of us, if our exes are on saying something about us we don't agree with, we'd be ready to go right at it. But that's not going to help what we're trying to accomplish here, which is to see a pattern form on why the relationships aren't working from their perspective.
And we've done this before, and we knew what your knee-jerk reaction would be. So the intention this time was to let you chew on it for a couple of days, and then you come on Friday or you come on Monday and you go, okay, remember when Nathan said this? Well, this is why I don't agree with that. You remember when John said this? This is why I don't agree with that. Or you take a couple of days to chew on it and you go, okay, you know what? Maybe these dudes are right. But if you're on every day defensive, it's not doing you any good.
Right, 100%. But like, they're calling me boring. Like, there's, you know, explanations for why. I mean, it just makes me angry. Like, they're calling me boring, and they're saying things, and it's like, I can't rebut because, you know, I mean, what about what they did, and what about, I don't know.
But that's not what this is about. And every single one of them complimented and said, you're a great girl.
And this is about their perception. This isn't about their side of the whole thing. This is what they consider the end of the relationship.
Right. Well, and I'm not. I mean, it just aggravates me that they're calling me boring when I'm not boring. I'm just super. I'm a super busy girl.
I think Melissa's right. I think that it's easier for you to hear the criticisms and the critiques, which is kind of the point of this. But you're hearing that much more loud and clearly than what compliments they're giving you, too. I mean, they're talking about what an awesome girl you are and all these things, but just that your lifestyle choices at the time that you dated didn't line up.
You're letting your ego get in the way of like getting some really good input here.
And that's what you came to us for.
Right.
And it's hard to hear. I mean, we've said that from the beginning. It's hard to hear.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be. I didn't think it'd be this hard.
Yeah, my ex-girlfriends wouldn't say anything nice about me. I mean,
no?
I think some of them, yeah, would. Because there's a reason you broke up. And what they're going to remember is the end of the relationship, not the beginning. So whatever we disagreed on at the time of the breakup is what they're going to say.
See, I'm going to attack that from a totally different angle. Like, you don't think that when you look back at your past relationships, you look at them fondly? Like, I don't remember most of my breakups because they weren't that bad.
No, I do. I mean, I do. I'm proud of, except for maybe one, but I'm proud of most of, I'm proud of all but one of the women I dated. And I'm not, and it's not that there's not a good rapport between me and my ex-girlfriends, but if we came on and said, Melissa needs advice on what she needs to seek in a partner for relationships, then what you're doing is you're telling the person what was wrong, what didn't work, and that's all they're focusing on, you know? Mm-hmm. And they're focusing on the fact that their lifestyle did not match yours. And that's it. And that, and the reasons why, so that you know what to seek out in the future that will be compatible with you.
I think most people, in their heart of hearts, would want to know what happened in the relationship, but it just isn't acceptable for you to call up and go, okay, give me 100% truth. Because you don't think that the guy is going to, or the woman is going to. Here, you're getting that opportunity. They have nothing to lose.
Right. No, and I agree. I mean, it's just, it's really, you know, because I don't look at myself as boring. I don't like to go out. I don't like to party. But I don't look at myself as boring. And it, with the born-again virgin thing, I mean, that was something totally, you know, like I thought we were going to get married, and I really wanted it to be special when we did get married.
Now, hold on one sec, because you're doing exactly what we didn't want you to do. Good morning. Is it Tobias?
Yes.
Hey, how are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm going to tell the caller that if your boyfriend said you're boring, that means you're boring.
No, from their point of view.
Yes, she is.
If everyone says you're boring, you got three or four boyfriends. Mm-mm. Now, you might disagree with them, okay? You can disagree, but if they all think you're boring, that means you're boring.
No.
Tobias,
that's not true.
Don't you think that means she's picking guys that aren't the right match for her?
Yes.
No, it means she's boring to them. That's their perspective.
Right, which makes the wrong guy.
So it means she's boring.
No, to those particular men. Because people I find boring are not going to be the same people that like Jen or Wendy find boring. You know what I mean?
What it says is that you're attracted to guys that are opposite from you. You are attracted to guys that are exciting, that like to go out. You like that lifestyle from the outside looking in, but once you're in it, you're really not a big fan of it.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't like it. I mean, I don't like to go out. I really don't drink. You know,
and
but
that's fine.
I mean,
and
I'm outgoing and I have friends, but because I don't drink, I don't think that makes me boring. And I think that's the guys that I dated really thought that.
And that's what we're trying to figure out here. That's what we said at the beginning of this whole thing, is we said we're going to either recognize patterns in your behavior or patterns in the type of guys you pick. And I think we're learning both.
Yeah. And you got to remember, the guys that have said that you were boring equated boring to not drinking. They were 21 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a normal occurrence that he's that young. It's really, I know that was like, I usually only date a few years younger.
Amanda, you're just being defensive.
This is exactly what we didn't want to happen.
And that's why we didn't have you on with each one, because instead of getting practical information and a solution for you, it would end up being a fight.
Here's TC. Hey, TC.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to say to Amanda that I didn't get the impression from the exes that she was boring. The impression that I got was that she would get into a relationship, and before the relationship progressed, she changed up and then broke the commitment. You know, something changed up within her. You know, the same thing she's doing right now. All right, she's had a couple of days with it. Okay, I don't like it. Let me just get out of it.
Yeah, you committed to us, and now you're breaking up.
Yeah,
with us.
And you gave everybody else 6 months. You're not even. you haven't even given us 1 week.
But TC made a good point. Now that do you in a relationship? Is there a possibility that when you get in there and you don't like it, that you kind of sabotage it?
I don't think I sabotage it. I think that I want to put a relationship in front of work, and then I get busy, and I just kind of, you know. I don't think I give it enough time to get established before I really, like, you know, I don't give it enough time, I think, is a problem. And I'm very rushed.
I still don't think our test group is large enough yet. Like Tracy said, can we do this one more day? Because, like, your latest ex wants to come on, and he's really eager. Like, he knows exactly what this is all about. He doesn't want to come on here and rip on you. He just thinks that he's got some things to say that would really help you open up this whole thing.
We're trying to help.
Yeah, this
one
is,
more day.
Yeah, please. This is not bashing Amanda. This is helping Amanda.
Give us one more day.
Please, pretty please.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, what's another one?
So what? How about? Okay.
Oh, Amanda.
Don't sell past the yes. She just said yes.
That's why I stopped.
The hard sell is over. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Oh, well.
All right, we're going to have your latest.
Seriously, goodbye. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Talk to you guys later.
Okay, bye.
See
you. But that's, I mean, that's...
We're recording today, right? That is
archived. It's a binding contract.
That's a contract. Yeah.
But that's natural to feel that way. But it's just, yeah, it's hard to detach those emotions and get defensive.
Here's Jackie. Good morning, Jackie. You're on the Burt Show. Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
I just wanted to tell her, I know she's gone, but she weren't really calling her specifically boring. They were just saying that at the end of their relationship, the relationship had kind of gotten stale or boring. They were all of them complimented her in every way.
They did.
Smart, she's pretty, she's fun,
she's
blah,
a great
blah,
girl.
Blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, they were like, yeah, well, she wanted to study and be exciting in her career, not exciting at the bar.
Right. Yeah.
And I think she just was misreading what they were saying. They weren't being personal about it. They were just saying that the relationship had gotten stale.
Well, we have said this before also that when you're really passionate about something, so you're closed to others' opinions. Like, there are some times where you just don't hear the debate because you're so passionate about it, and you're never going to be more passionate about anything than you are about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so here they are. They're trying to give her help, but she's so focused that she's not listening to what anybody's saying.
She's hearing the negative things people say.
Well, it's just like when you look at a picture. You could look at a picture that has 200 people in it. What's the first thing you scan for? Yourself. And... you are hypercritical, you know, oh, that shirt doesn't look good on me, one eye's closed, I'm, you know, whatever, but, you know, hair's crappy, all this, blah, 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 even though you're fine, you know, everybody else looks at the pictures, oh, what a great picture of all y'all.
It's a tough assignment.
It's the same thing she's doing.
That is not easy. All right, so we'll get the latest ex-boyfriend on, and he says he's got some info that can open up this whole thing.
Here, Burt Show.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.